This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. Broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. Good to be with you again today, everybody. I've got a lot of important news and information. I've just got some emails in and some big controversy that's going on right now among the Arab world. The Jewish supremacists have been working very, very hard to try to discredit me among many opponents of Zionism by continually claiming that I'm a white supremacist. And of course they do this to so many people who are white nationalists or white preservationists, really. And truly, white people have a right to preserve their heritage, their way of life, their nations, their culture, their religions, their standards of life, as well as any other people upon the earth. And it's a typical Jewish tactic, you know, accuse other people of being what they are, supremacists. I don't want to rule or have my people, the white people of the world, rule over Muslims, non-whites around the world of any kind. I simply want my own homelands, my own nation, to reflect the values of my forefathers. And this is exactly the same principle that I think that almost every non-white person in the world has. If you look around, if you go to Saudi Arabia, they want to preserve their heritage, they want to preserve their religion, they want to preserve their way of life, and they have laws and regulations and policies that do precisely that. The same thing is true in Bahrain, where I visited, in Jordan, where I visited, in Syria, where I visited. The same thing is true in India, where I visited. The same thing is true in Pakistan, where I've been before. The same thing is true in Africa, where I've been before. South and Central America, every people want to preserve their own heritage. Even Mexico, which is right now flooding millions of non-European Americans into our country, Mexicans, who truly have, and they seek this, have a loyalty to Mexico as much of that as to the United States, if not more so. And many Mexican Americans view this as a reconquista, that they're getting back at the fact the United States conquered these lands and took these lands from the Mexican heartland, from the Mexican people. They're trying to reconstruct America and a new nation. But, ladies and gentlemen, Mexico itself, at the same time while they promote this immigration into America and they say America should not act to defend itself from the immigration, Mexico has very strict, very draconian laws in an effort to restrict and prohibit immigration from south of its border, from Central America, from nations and societies where the economy is even worse than Mexico's economy, just as the Mexican economy is so much worse than our economy here in this country. So the Jewish supremacists always, with their divide and conquer, they continue to bring up my affiliations of, actually, for most of my activity, more than 30 years ago. They ignore the fact that I've been elected to office twice. They ignore the fact of my positions. And they really ignore the basic things that I even said in that period 35 and 40 years ago. Because I've always advocated equal rights for all, but a preservation of also the rights of European Americans. The interesting thing is that I'm getting a lot of reaction now, and finally, I'm seeing that there are so many Muslims and other non-whites around the world who are reading my writing, and they're actually coming to my defense in response to the charges and the lies of the Jewish supremacists. Again, I'm not a supremacist. I believe in equal rights for all, and I believe every nation has a right to preserve its heritage. I don't want to lord supreme over other races. I simply want to have my own nation reflect that of my own heritage, my values, my traditions, my faith, the interests that go along with the European American heritage of the United States. It's good to hear, and it's really great to hear that I am getting some mail. Let me see if I can get some of that mail from you, and I'll tell you some of the responses and let you judge for yourself how things are going. This is from Aniza Abed El Fattah, and this is in a response to another Arab group that was saying something critical about the fact of my past and talking about the possibility that I'm a white supremacist. It seems today it's nice that in some cases I don't even have to open my mouth in my own defense. It reminds me of the time that I was in the Washington Times newspaper editorial room with the late and great Sam Francis. I was running for president at that time. It was an editorial meeting they have with presidential candidates, and they reserve a time and opportunity for every individual candidate to spend time with them, to ask questions. And it seemed I didn't even have to open my mouth to defend myself without Sam on the editorial board of the Times rushing to my defense. Well, now we have more people doing that. This is what Anissa writes. I like David Duke. I've read his writings and have researched his sources and know that he's an honest writer with a point of view. You don't have to like that point of view, but you can't dismiss him simply because you don't agree with him. As for his past, it's history. How many of us can say we've never said or done something out of passion that we regret later? Duke himself recognizes that his past is controversial, and I think that in his recent, over the past 10 years, writings, you can follow his progress. In my view, white supremacism is not to be tolerated any more than Jewish supremacism. Duke doesn't argue for white supremacism. Like Muslims, he is resisting and arguing that his race and their culture has a right to survive and not be overtaken by Jewish supremacism, or rather Zionism. It is a universal struggle undertaken by many people, even many Jews. Let me add that Muslims never are bothered very much by their consciences when they advocate dialogues with Zionist Jews and Christians. They say dialogue is good and a way to peace. Why the double standard when it comes to Duke? So that's a good example of one of the letters, and there's many more. And by the way, the controversy over the Walt and Mersheimer paper, it continues to escalate. There is another article on the paper, and it's in the New York Times Book Review. Now, the New York Times Book Review is a very interesting institution. It's an institution that is thoroughly Jewish. It is as Jewish as a bar mitzvah, and it's very influential on American academic and intellectual life, because often libraries and institutions, or any institution that has a library, whether it be companies or certain organizations or nonprofit organizations or charity organizations, even the Salvation Army that might have a hospice or a house somewhere, they might decide what books to order, and they often do, by whether or not the books are reviewed in the New York Times Book Review. So just the fact that the New York Times concentrates or writes about your book, our material, is very critical as to its later, not academic, but its commercial success. And obviously, as for any other thing in life, commercial success is a key for a book spreading. If you have a commercial impetus, if publishers think they can make money on a particular book, obviously they will try to promote that book. They will print more copies of the book. But if they feel that it's a lost leader, that they're going to lose money on the book, and the books will have to be burned because no one's out there to buy them, or sold for scrap, then they don't have much incentive to sell. That's one way they can control the market, is by controlling what books are even reviewed. And by the way, Jewish supremacism and My Awakening has never been reviewed, actually, by a major newspaper or magazine. There's been mentions of it, yes, obviously, in the course of news events. In spite of that, both books have been bestsellers, selling in the hundreds of thousands of copies, not only in the United States, but around the world. And it's amazing that these books have done so well, even though they have been boycotted by the industry. Well, there's an article in the latest issue of the New York Times Book Review. And it deals with the Mersheimer paper, but I'm mentioning it repeatedly. and it's by a gentleman by the name of Michael Massing, and it's called The Storm Over the Israeli Lobby. And he starts off, I'll give you the first sentence or so, "Not since Foreign Affairs magazine published Samuel Huntington's The Clash of Civilizations in 1993 has an academic essay detonated with such force as the, quote, Israeli Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy, unquote, by professors John J. Mearsheimer of the University of Chicago and Stephen M. Walt of Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. Published in the March 23, 2006 issue of the London Review of Books and posted as a working paper on the Kennedy School's website, the report has been debated in the coffeehouses of Cairo and in the editorial offices of Haaretz. It's been called smelly, Christopher Hitchens, nutty, Max Boot, conspiratorial, the Anti-Defamation League, oddly amateurish by The Forward, and brave by Philip Weiss and The Nation. It's prompted intense speculation over why the New York Times has given it so little attention and why the Atlantic Monthly, which originally commissioned the essay, rejected it." So it's very interesting, and I want to give you a couple of the quotes in here. It's kind of interesting. They talk about how the paper is being called anti-Semitic. He says in this article, "Finally, the professors maintain the lobby has created a climate in which anyone who calls attention to its power is deemed anti-Semitic, a device designed to stifle discussion by intimidation. They end with a call for more open debate about the lobby's influence and consequences it has had for America's place in the world." He goes on, "Such points have been made before, but rarely by such hard-headed members of an academic establishment. And the response has been furious. Leading the way has been the New York Sun, whose lead story on March 20 was headed, 'David Duke claims to be vindicated by Harvard Dean.' Duke, the white supremacist, was quoted as calling the paper excellent and a great step forward. It's quite satisfying," Duke said, "to see a body in the premier American University of the United States essentially come out and validate every major point I've been making since before the Iraq War even started. Harvard's paper on Israel, called Trash by Salon, went another headline 2 days later. The Salon in this case was New York Congressman Elliot Engel, who said, given what happened in the Holocaust, it's shameful that people would write reports like this," unquote. Again, we always seem to get the Holocaust, ladies and gentlemen. That's my side note. How can the Holocaust come into every issue? And that's the way it is. And that's maybe why the Holocaust is so promoted by the media on a constant level. It's to basically to short-circuit our thought processes on so many of these important issues. Congressman Jared Nadler called the paper a meretricious, dishonest piece of crap, while Marvin Kalb, who teaches at the Kennedy School, expressed disappointment that a paper of this quality appeared under the Kennedy School label. Of course, any time that you do something that's excellent and powerful in exposing Jewish supremacism and Jewish extremism, they immediately say they attack you from every standpoint and every point of view. You become anti-Semitic, you become hateful, they compare you to the protocols of Zion. They even compare you to David Duke. Now that's a low blow these days, isn't it? I want to go on and give you a couple other little interesting quotes. They talk about Dershowitz and some of his radical statements. Dershowitz is the same Dershowitz who condemns these people as anti-Semitic, yet he speaks before the Chabad-Lubavitch movement, a movement that says Gentiles are animals, that the purpose of Gentiles is to serve Jews, and has spokesmen and people inside the movement that say things such as, if a Gentile passes by and a Jew needs his liver, is it moral to take the liver? And answers in the affirmative. The paper really, actually, this article in the New York Times, even though it seems to be balanced, it's full of inaccuracies about the paper and inaccuracies about the entire situation in the Middle East. They attack the paper on a number of grounds that's just not accurate. And that's their technique, ladies and gentlemen. I remember that so well when I was in the university at LSU and other universities around the country, and I had very liberal professors. And the professors have a way of trying to appear as though they're unbiased. In other words, they present things, and that's the way they present their papers and their classes. They say, this is one side of the question, and here's the other side of the question. But you see, they can't be unbiased, because every professor, about every important issue, has an opinion. In other words, he believes something to be true. Now, he may endeavor to try to give the best evidence for each side, but there's no way that his own particular prejudice cannot influence the material that he gives forth to his students. It's a very simple process. It's a very simple concept, ladies and gentlemen. But by appearing to be unbiased, they just suck the students in, because this is a professor searching for truth. He appears to be unbiased, but then he makes sure that he presents you with data, that's right, with data that supports the position that he agrees with, not the position that he disagrees with, under this cloak of fairness and intellectual honesty. That's the way it's done these days, and that's exactly the way it's done in this paper. For instance, he talks about the expulsion of the Arabs, and it says, it says basically that you can't really prove that Israel purposely expelled the Arabs from the lands of Israel, and yet there's tremendous evidence. It talks about the fact that Charles Percy was turned out of the Senate because it was questioning of some of our Israeli policies, even though on most things he voted with Israel right down the line. He was turned out in Illinois, and they dismissed that because it was old. He dismisses in this article the evidence that Israeli extremists had a lot of input, a lot of factor in the Iraq War. And they dismiss a few things, like, well, it doesn't really make much difference. There was some Jewish influence, but it doesn't make a hill of beans. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at every juncture, as I've shown in some of my papers, the influence of the Jewish establishment in politics, in this promotion of this entire war by, we can go down the list, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Wormser, Feith, Kristol. I mean, keep going, ladies and gentlemen, as long as you want to go, because most of these are very radical Jews. They're very, very supremacist Jews, and they're also former communists, which is kind of interesting. Many of them, not all of them, but the neocon movement certainly has its roots in Trotskyism. It's no wonder the conservative wing of the Republican Party has been taken over by these neocons, and how they've abandoned the old-line Republican issues. Because old-line Republicans would certainly have been in favor of securing our borders, but these people who run the Republican Party today are for totally opening up our borders to the third world, while at the same time they support Israel, a nation completely dedicated to securing its borders and preventing any factor where Jews will become outnumbered by non-Jews. They are totally committed to the demographic structure of Israel as a Jewish state. That's just the way it is, and I think a lot of you are aware of that now. And it continues. It's really quite amazing the level of their control. Oh, there's so many things here. I don't know what I want to talk about first. I've got a number of emails as well here, and Nick can email me. You can email me at info44@davidduke.com. That's info44@davidduke.com. Always remember to push the contact button on the davidduke.com website, because the email address does change from time to time. And the way you're going to get the right address to reach me is by going to the button. Therefore, because we change the link on that email address occasionally, so that way you're going to be able to get the news that is the latest and the most accurate that's available. There is another recent controversy that's going on right now about Israel, and about how the fact that they are continuing to uphold the law of stopping non-Jewish spouses from coming and being united to their Jewish spouses in Israel. Again, the hypocrisy on this issue is rampant, but Israel continues to do this and flaunt the world, and the uproar about this is completely muted. If any other country did not allow this on the basis of ethnicity, race, genetics, If any other country did that, they would be set up for rounds of denunciation. We have a situation right now where there's individuals in Poland, and this is another very good piece of news, and I hope that you're familiar with that case going on. If not, let me see if I can get this updated for you here now. All right, this is from international wire study. Quote, Warsaw, Poland, new ruling coalition in Poland between the right-wing Law and Justice Party and two radical nationalist groups has Jewish organizations frightened that their time of lying about discussing the Holocaust in Poland is over, according to the ADL and Jewish newspaper reports. Roman Giertuk, a Polish deputy prime minister of the League of Polish Families, told the press that his goal, now he's taken office, will be to, quote, smash Jewish communism, unquote, as well as to continue Poland's ban on abortions and to criminalize homosexuality. Another member of his party continued Giertuk's comments by saying that Jews are making a business of the Holocaust, and the new government will consider shutting down the cash cows at Auschwitz, Treblinka, and Majdanek. Andrzej Leppert, Polish deputy prime minister from the Self-Defense Party, said his priorities in government are to remove Poland from the European Union and institute social policies that serve the people of Poland. It goes on. Also, there's an interesting quote by a Jewish organization, and of course the ADL attacked these leading groups in Poland. They attacked them for daring to have received a degree, an honorary degree, from the same university where I received an honorary degree about 5 years ago. This is before I entered and completed the doctoral program, the normal doctoral program. And how can they take an honorary degree from a university that gave an honorary degree to David Duke? Well, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, if you look at the colleges who've granted honorary degrees, I might not agree with certain presidents, and yet I would not look at a college and say this, you know, I would not refuse an honorary degree because the college gave a degree to Bill Clinton after the Monica Lewinsky affair or something. It's ridiculous. But that's how they work. I mean, it even goes far beyond what they call McCarthyism or guilt by association. Never in the halcyon days of McCarthyism did we have a situation where someone was condemned as a communist because a communist said something in favor of them. They might have been condemned for their association or membership in a communist organization or a communist-run organization, but nobody tried that aspect. I mean, I could show you people convicted of pedophilia and people convicted of other kinds of child molestation and who voted for and supported people such as Jimmy Carter and President Carter. I mean, Jimmy Carter and people such as John Kerry, people such as George Bush. It's easy to do. You can't really condemn someone very very effectively, very intelligently by saying that, oh, he's no good because someone else supported him, because a bad person supported him. It's just crazy. It's the same kind of argument they're using right now on the Mearsheimer-Walt paper by saying that the paper can't be any good because it's endorsed by David Duke. What's really happened, though, with this paper, they've not discredited the paper effectively by saying it's supported by David Duke. They've gotten hundreds of thousands of people all over the world to go and read the David Duke website. And they read my writings, and it's really resulting in the invitations to me from hundreds of university professors all over Europe, all over the world, who want me to come and lecture. They've gone to my website, they've read my articles, they're very impressed by these articles and the facts and data behind them on the threat of Jewish supremacism. They want me to come and lecture to their universities, to their classes, to their organizations. And I think the Jewish policy, this Jewish backhanded attack upon Mearsheimer and Walt have really resulted in an opposite effect. People are now going to my website, they're getting the whole story, not even a sanitized version, and I think the Walt and Mearsheimer report is, in effect, a sanitized version. I mean, I think that we could spend a great percentage of any of these papers in going into just simply the terrorism of Israel against the United States of America. That's just an issue that's just being totally wiped off the board today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been good to be with you. It's a Friday, and I hope that you all have a great weekend. I certainly plan to be with you again on Monday. And I hope that you'll do your part in making sure that this program gets out to our compatriots all over the United States and to really as many people as we can in the world. We live in a global situation today where people can read this these articles that I write and hear these programs that I speak anywhere in the world. And they, in turn, have friends and family and educational institutions they attend all over the Western world. And so this has an effect not only on America and Americans and European Americans directly, but also when many of the Muslim world hears these programs, they, in fact, inform their friends who they've met, their associates, their colleagues around the world about the David Duke website, and it all tends to come together, and people learn more and more about the fundamental ideas that I'm expressing. I'm very proud of the fact that the ideas that I've expressed really form the basis of the Walton Mearsheimer paper, the most prestigious university in the land in the United States of America today, and I think it shows the quality of the work that I've been doing and the fact that I guess I've been a pioneer in this. There's others as well. It's not just been David Duke. There's been others courageously talking about it, but I certainly have been one of the men who've taken the bull by the horns and confronted this vital, vital issue. Well, until Monday, I want to tell you take care and God bless you. And Bob Whitaker will be with you, of course, with his usual Saturday program tomorrow. Of course, you can hear these archives anytime, all the way back to more than a year ago. And you can hear today's program all weekend. Just click on it, have a listen, and make sure you send some links to your friends and family. Okay, take care. God bless you. I love you, and I'll see you again on Monday.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddude.com.